All right.
I'm going to move. Ooh, that's loud. I'm going to move right about here. I know I'm going to miss somebody, but I'm going to try to get a little off the poles. So hopefully you can see me. Yeah, okay. All right. And I did give in. I decided to go ahead and use the clips. Yes, I've learned that if you listen to women, you end up better off in the long run. So, and all the married men said?
Amen.
All right. We'll see how we do here. I'm going to try to get this figured out, clip it the right way. I think I'm going to need like 7 clips, Renee. If you got like 500 clips, I'll take them. Maybe just one more. She literally threw me a bag of clothespins. All right. So I can't, we're only going to be in one passage today because I'm not doing this again. And so you guys just better bear with it. No. All right. Well, I am so excited to be here today and to worship with you. As I try to mention often when we do the outside service is I love this time. I love worshiping together this way. And one of the amazing things about worshiping this way is it reminds me of the book of Acts. And when the Apostle Paul was preaching the gospel, and when Lydia and those believers were gathered by the side of the river, that they were able to have a church service, if you will, right outside there. And so I love that our Lord can be worshiped both in a building and out in his beautiful creation. Amen. So I know TJ's changing things around here, so if it's up and down, just bear with us. But we are going to get to a passage in the book of Romans in just a moment. But before we get there, as I was kind of thinking about what the Lord would have me share this morning, early this week, as I was kind of preparing for this, something came across my mind that really the week before too, that in all of humanity, there are some longings that humanity has. There's some key longings that all of humanity has. And as I was thinking through that, I was starting to look at some articles and look at some things. And even among non-Christian articles and authors and mindsets, I came across some interesting articles that I want to share with you. Just a couple highlights of that. Again, this is not Christian point of view. This is not from a biblical point of view, but you hear, I hope, the same longings that we hear, even as we know as Christians of what we see our lives are to be. And so here we see one author said, at our emotional core, we all want safety, belonging, and mattering. So one non-Christian author said, at our core, at our emotional core, we all of humanity wants mattering, which means basically to matter, belonging to something, and safety. Another author also spoke to a deep longing for their word, soulfulness. Soulfulness. They said this, or as I would interpret it, as seeing life through a spiritual lens. This author goes on to say, she said, I'm interested, however, in the long haul, how we create and build lives that matter and livelihoods that make a positive difference and impact in the world. And I am keenly focused on how we can do that with as much joy, ease, love, and soulfulness as possible. Now, this is not a Christian author, but do you hear what they're really longing for? I want to make an impact. I want to make a difference. I want to be a positive impact in the world. I want to have joy and love and that soulfulness, that spirituality. Another article, again, in the same vein, emphasized the longing for love. She said this, your body craves, again, non-biblical person, non-Christian, your body craves some essential nutrient that it's not getting. Yet, you can't quite put your finger on what it is. Sometimes you can numb this ache with a deep dive into work, gossip, television, or gaming. More often than not, though, these and other attempts to fill the aching void are merely temporary distractions. The longing doesn't let up. It trails you like a shadow, instantly making distractions all the more appealing. And distractions abound. That second or third glass of wine, that stream of text and calls, and that couch and remote control. You know what these authors, these articles, again, non-biblical point of view, but they're all speaking to the same longings, the same, as one author put it, that ache within that we just can't seem to numb enough. We can't seem to do enough to make that go away and to be satisfied. I have to ask you, do you hear in these articles what is represented in these three examples? And this is among many. We see a relation of a thread or longing that, as one author said, you can't quite put your finger on what it is. I want to take a few moments and discover four things that everyone longs for in this life. Four areas that every single person, your coworkers, your family members, your friends, maybe you yourself will connect with us. But four things that everyone longs for in this life. The first thing, and again, looking at the general sense, we're not going to go to scripture yet, but just looking at a general sense, what are four things that everyone longs for? Well, one thing that everyone longs for is peace of mind. Now, if you're following along, we do have an outline on our app of notes if you want to take notes. So if you'd like to do that, you can find that in the same media section where you found the lyrics. You can see message notes and today's date. But everyone longs for peace of mind. And I'll give you a heads up now. Speaking of peace of mind, John Belasco, myself, Alan Corbett, Greg, who else was here that helped with the tent? What? Wesley Proctor. We all put the tent up. So if the wind picks up and the tent starts to get a little wobbly, blame them, okay? I was just supervisor. I just was in the background, okay? So I'm not really at fault if anything happens, but blame them. But everyone longs for peace of mind. So peace of mind, this comes in the natural sense or in our world's understanding when we believe our needs are met, our families are healthy, and everyone is home safely tucked into bed. I think that's common in our world today. Many people will say, I just want peace of mind. I just want to know my family's safe. Now, all the parents in the room and the grandparents can relate with this. When your child or grandchild started driving, when they were out on the road those first few attempts, you weren't very peace of mind. But when they got home and they were safe and they're tucked in bed, mom and dad, peace of mind. Just at ease. Okay, I can breathe. They're home and they're safe. The world longs for peace of mind. In our world today, there are many things that cloud our minds with fear and anxiety, where peace of mind seems almost impossible to live out consistently in our world. So one of the things that everyone longs for is peace of mind. Second longing that everyone in this life longs for is a purpose in life. A purpose in life. People want a reason to get up in the morning and contribute to something worthwhile. We want our careers, our lives, and our impact to go beyond ourselves. Now, this is usually found in service to others. Many people in our world give to charities, give to Red Cross. We do a blood drive once, twice a year. We're going to do another one here in August. And so that's good. It's good to do those things. But so many people find a purpose in giving to something, in serving something, serving at a soup kitchen, or doing a good thing for someone, just making a difference in some way. This is also including our desire or longing for growth. The idea that we are growing towards something, maturing in some way. Many long to know they are not just sitting idle, but doing something that matters. And that's really what we're talking about. There's this longing in the world today, a peace of mind, a purpose in life. Also, thirdly, another thing that everyone seems to long for in this life is the hope for something more. The hope for something more. We look around our world today and hope there is something more than what we see. Now, that something more takes on various forms and ideas, depending on our background, religious beliefs. However, the truth is, even when people say they don't care if there's something after this life, they really ultimately, in their heart of hearts, do. They do care. And we all want something more. This longing becomes clear in how we speak of someone that has passed away. I mean, how many people that have no connection to God, no knowledge of the Bible, no belief in heaven, but when you talk about somebody passing away, what is a saying you often hear? They're in a better place. Well, what is that? That's a longing for something more than this life. Not only is it a peace of mind, purpose in this life, and a hope for something more that everyone longs for, but fourthly, everyone longs for connection with others. You could say it this way, everyone desires to be loved and to love. Intimacy in our relationships take many forms as well. family members, friendships, even to marriage. We were created for connection with others, and it's evident even in our world today. Now, while this list of four could include many other areas, maybe you're thinking of something that I didn't mention, or maybe it could be divided up in a different way. This list generally reflects the core longings, of humanity. These real needs and desires. Now, hear me now. These are real needs and desires. This is not like when your child at 13 said they need, I need $200 sneakers. That's not a need. That's a want. And then what you're going to need is a job to get the want. But these longings that we're talking about, peace of mind, purpose in life, these are things that are genuine longings and desires that I believe God has put within us. You see, I believe that these longings can be satisfied. These longings that we just talked about can actually be satisfied. They're not intended to go unaddressed. Our longings, these four, are met in Christ. So how do we see that? Well, we talk about peace of mind. Christ offers us something more than that. He offers us peace with God. Anyone can give us peace of mind for a moment, but only Christ can give us peace with God for eternity. So I mentioned we're going to go to a passage here, and we will go to Romans chapter 5. So Romans chapter 5, if you have it on your device there, if you're trying to use a paper Bible, I'm praying for you, because it's going to be tough. But Romans chapter 5, and I want to read verse 1. So Romans 5 and verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Christ. Because of Jesus Christ, we have moved from the enemies of God to being justified or declared innocent before Christ and before our God. We now have access into his grace. Look at verse 2. By whom, Christ, also you have access by faith into this grace, wherein ye stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We don't just receive grace at the moment of salvation that saves us. We receive grace that saves us and sustains us. And now we stand in that grace, actively pursuing a deeper relationship with Christ. We no longer fear the unknown. When things like yesterday happen, because we live in a fallen world with fallen man who do fallen things. When tragedies happen in our world like yesterday that shook us and shock us and cause us to be tempted to move into fear, God is never shaken. God is never taken off guard. And so our peace with God does not come from our circumstances. It comes from Christ. It is constant. It is an eternal peace, knowing that no matter what we go through, what we endure, or what happens in this world, we are secure in Christ. This is why the famous hymn can still be sung today. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Now, how can the author of that beautiful hymn write in the same spot of the ocean where his family was taken from him? How can he write, it is well with my soul? He writes it because he has the peace with God. Secondly, we long for purpose. Well, in Christ, we have purpose that carries into eternity. I'm going to reference it. It's in your notes, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're not going to turn there for time's sake. But here we see Paul writes to the church a word of encouragement. There's a gentleman by the name of Apollos who was working with him there in the church. And Paul says, he is my co-laborer. They both had a part to play in the preaching of the gospel, but it was ultimately God that gave the increase, meaning God does the work of conversion and changing of the hearts. We as followers of Christ are co-laborers with Christ. The things we do for Christ today are making an eternal impact in the world around us and in eternity. Those things for Christ will be judged and rewarded according to 1 Corinthians 3, while the things we do for self will fade away. See, we have a purpose in Christ that is greater than just this life. Your career, you feel purpose in your career, that's awesome. You feel purpose in giving to that charity, that's great. But those things are temporary. they will only matter in this life. But the things we do for Christ, when you share your faith with your neighbor, when you share an act of Christ with someone in a way of love, that's going to last into eternity. There's eternal purpose in what we're doing for Christ. Thirdly, our hope for something more becomes a hope and a guarantee of eternal life. Now, you're in Romans 5. We read a few more verses there. So Romans 5, 8 through 11. Our hope for something more moves to a guarantee and a hope for eternal life. Romans 5 and verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen? And not when you got yourself cleaned up, not when you figured it out, not when you went to church, not when you tithed, not when you got baptized, but when your sin, in the depth and the wickedness of your brokenness before God, you're an enemy of God. You want nothing to do with him, naturally. And yet he died for you. He shed his blood for you. Why? So that you would come to know him as your personal Lord and Savior, that you would spend eternity with him. And I know sometimes we're really good at making other people's sin worse than our sin. We think we're pretty good after all. But the truth is, we've all fallen short. There is none righteous, no, not one. None can earn salvation. All need grace. And here we read that the love of God provides grace to all who would believe. Verse 9. That one almost even blew the clips off. There's a saying I didn't think I would say in church while I was preaching. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, not by works, but by the blood of Christ, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Whose wrath? It's not Satan's wrath. It's God's wrath. He says, the reason you're saved from the wrath of God, which is the rightful judgment of your sin, is because of the blood of Christ which was shed for you. And you receive that by faith. And now you're saved from the wrath of God. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. He is not dead. He is risen. He is living a life right now. Verse 11, not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. You see, in Romans 5, we read that our hope for something more becomes a hope and a guarantee of eternal life. When we say we hope in Christ, it is not wishing on a star, but a confident guarantee based upon God's unchanging character. Paul says we have joy in God because why? We have now received the atonement. Present tense, we are in the atonement. Your sin has been covered in Christ. This longing for a sure hope of heaven, while again denied by some, becomes evident at crucial moments in our lives. I've talked to individuals who say, yeah, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in heaven. I don't believe in hell. And I don't care if there is one. I don't care. I'm just going to go into the dirt. I've done way too many funerals in my ministry to know that's true. You know, what's amazing is having been blessed to speak at many funerals over the years of ministry, even during difficult passings of those that have lost a child, those that have endured suicide of a loved one, very difficult moments, and having to be blessed to be able to be a part of those services. The longing for something more is so clear among that group. I've never sat with a family that enduring the loss of a loved one that said, yeah, I'm good if there's nothing more after this. Even the most hardened unbelievers will look at you and say, man, tell me there's some hope here. Tell me there's something beyond this, because I'm just wrecked and I don't know if I can handle this. And they're in tears and they're grieving the loss of a loved one. And I'm so thankful that God gives us the opportunity as followers of Christ to not bring condemnation, but hope in the gospel. Yes, there is hope everlasting that you can receive Christ and know that you'll be in heaven when you leave this world. People will say, oh, in our culture today, I don't believe that. I don't need that. No, we all long for that. And lastly, this morning, not only a purpose that goes into eternity, a peace with God, and a hope that's a guarantee of eternal life, but also we long for a connection with others. So how has that been met in Christ? Well, it's been met in Christ in and through the church and in and through the Father. You see, we have in Christ a connection with the Father. We have intimacy with God where we can call out to him and he hears and responds to our needs. In Christ, we are given the Spirit of God that indwells us, constantly pointing us to the Lord. He guides and comforts us. He encourages us and he reminds us of his love. That's what we have in Christ, is an intimacy with the Father. Not only do we have an intimacy with the Father, we also have a connection, an intimacy with the church. This is a body of believers that can walk with us through all the various seasons of life, the highs and the lows, and yet the body remains to direct us to Christ. The Bible is filled with one another encouragements of how we can be a blessing and a help to one another. At this time, just because of the time, I'm going to have those that are helping in the kitchen. We've got a couple helpers in here, I think, in the crowd that are going to step out. They can go ahead back and start getting the food ready. But I want to share with you guys, and they're not getting any dibs on the food first, so no worries. I don't know, maybe they'll sneak a little something, but that's okay. They're serving. They can do that. We talk about the connection we have with the body of Christ. I'm going to give you two examples, if I might. I know that wind's picking up, but bear with us. Ooh, now it's really picking up. As the stand goes, just we'll keep going. I was so blessed here over the last couple of months. Wednesday night, we have our Wednesday night prayer group. And I was so blessed that a gentleman in our group, and I asked him if it was okay if I shared his specific name and all that, and he said it was fine. Terry Atwell shared with our group a couple different times, the group of men. He said, we need to be praying for our church. And the Lord laid on his heart to pray every single day. And this has been for a few months now. Every single day that we would love one another as the body of Christ. And when I hear that, man, that encourages me. To know that there are individuals in the church that are committed to praying every single day. Lord, help us to love one another as you would have us love one another. That's the connection with the body of Christ that we have in Christ. That we can know that people are praying for the love of Christ to be shared amongst us. To hear someone say, let's be praying for that faithfully and diligently. And men sitting around a table and just gathering for prayer. And to me, those men that sit around that table, man, those are leaders in our church. They may or may not have a position of authority, but they're leading our church. Because when I hear men say, we need to be praying for this, that challenges me as a man to be praying that I would love the church as I should individually. Not just that you guys would love each other, but that I would be loving the church practically and faithfully, committing to that. Another great blessing of this that we've had recently. And again, I don't want to share too much details, but a gentleman approached me and said that as they're going through a health thing, that they mentioned that to someone. And that person right then and there put their arm around them and prayed over them and prayed with them for healing, for the removal of the sickness. And this gentleman was telling me this a couple weeks ago of this experience. And he said, you know, and he's later on in years, he said, you know, in all my years, no one's ever prayed with me like that right then and there. No other man has ever just put his arm around me and said, let's pray about that right now. He said, I've had people say, I'm praying for you. I know people have prayed for me. It's all good. But for a man to put his arm around me and say, let's pray right now about this. He said he never had that experience before. And it literally just made him so emotional just telling me that God laid that on that person's heart. And then this person went for a follow-up exam. And for the scan, and the scan came back negative. And so we don't know what God's going to do. We believe God is a healing God, and we're praying that he will heal completely. But for that gentleman to say to me and to others, that made a difference in him. To know that another man would think so much of him, to say, I'm going to pray for you right now, not later. And by the way, anyone ever say, I'll pray for you, and you're just forgetful, and you forgot to pray for them? I've been there. But man, for this man to say, all my years, no one's ever prayed for me like that. That's an encouragement to the body of Christ. Amen. That's what we're here to do. That's when we talk about this connection with others. We're connected to God, and then we get connected to the body, and it's to love one another and encourage one another and pray with and for one another and to serve one another and to help one another in this life. There is no one under this tent and no one on this property that in Christ, we don't need a little help from time to time. We all stumble. We all fall short and have a brother or sister come alongside and say, let me help you up. Let me walk with you through this situation. We talk about grief share. Man, what an amazing opportunity it is for people to sit around a table with some unbelievers even and just share the love of Christ. The church, the body of Christ, is meant to be a family. Now, I'm so thankful because I believe our church is an amazing, amazing church. And I know that every church has ups and downs, but I'm so thankful for the body of Christ. When I came to this youth ministry, when I was 16 years old in 1998, And I was not looking for Jesus. I was not looking for God. I wanted nothing to do with God. I was on the exact other end of the spectrum. And I came in with so much attitude as a teenager. I was angry. I was mad. And I was not going to be witnessed to or talked to Jesus about. And in fact, I was going to come in and find all the hypocrisy in the church. All the cliques. And you know what I found? A loving group of teenagers that accepted me. Not for what I was doing most in many ways, but accepted me as a human being made in the image of God and led me to Christ. And I found a loving family. And God has blessed me to, and Sandra to be able to be here all these years. I mean, in my mind, there's no church like North Goodland. I love my church. Because of the intimacy that's there in the church, that we can see that taking place in people's lives. Whether it's somebody's having a tough day or a tough situation or whatever it is, we just love on and encourage one another. Not in everything will be okay because I think it's going to be okay or you're fine, but biblically loving one another. Biblically encouraging one another to the things that Christ calls us to, which means difficult conversations sometimes. But those conversations are done in love for the goal of drawing people closer to Christ. And so, man, these things and so much more are met in Christ. Peace of mind, have peace with God. Purpose in this life, live with eternal purpose. A hope for something more? No, no, no. Trade that in for a guarantee of eternal life. And a connection with just others in this life? How about a connection with our Lord and Savior that will last for eternity? As we get ready to close, and I appreciate your attentiveness. I know it's tough being outside sometimes. And the kids are doing great, by the way. All the kids, you guys are awesome. But I want to let you know, one of the greatest longings that every single human being has is forgiveness of their sin. We were all created to have a relationship with God. And you're here today, not by accident, but by God's design. And if you're here today and you don't know Christ, and you feel that void, that ache, that just something can't seem to meet that, no matter what you do, what you pursue, what you've pursued, nothing seems to fill that void. I promise you, a relationship with Jesus Christ is exactly what will fill that void. Because God has made you for eternity. You were made and are made in the image of God. You have intrinsic value and worth for just being a created image bearer of God. Not for what you do or don't do, what's in the bank account, what's not in the bank account, talents and weaknesses. No, you're an image bearer of God. You were made in the image of God. You have value and worth. And God cares for you and sent his son to die for you on a cross, was buried and rose again. And you sitting here today, anyone can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Repenting, turning from your sin and trusting in Christ. And you will have those longings met. Will life be perfect? Absolutely not. Because we live in a fallen world and we have this flesh stuff. But in the storms of life, and by the way, the storms hit everybody. The storms don't just hit Christians. The storms don't just hit non-Christians. We live in a fallen world. Storms hit all of us. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather be in a relationship and have the peace of a connection to the one that's over the storms than just be lost in the storm on my own strength. And I want the Savior to walk with me because I don't understand what tomorrow holds. But he does. And in Christ, he is walking with you. So I want to ask you this morning, have you received Christ as your Lord and personal Savior? Have you come to know the satisfying and fulfilling presence of the Lord? Are you enjoying his goodness and grace? Have you ceased the endless pursuit of something that only satisfies in this life and rejoiced in the guarantee of eternal life and something so much more? Christ provides grace and forgiveness for all who would believe. Call upon the name of the Lord and discover his mercy and grace and be made new for his glory and the glory of his grace. Humanity is longing for peace, love, purpose, and something more. In Christ, these things are all made available by grace through faith. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads right there where you are, and we're going to have a word of prayer. Obviously, because we're outside, as you begin to pray, we're not going to have an invitation per se where you can come forward. But I want to encourage you to begin to pray right there where you are. And as you begin to pray, I want you to just be honest with yourself between you and God. Do you know him as your Lord and personal Savior? Is there a point in your life where you've repented? That means just to acknowledge that you've sinned, to know that you're not perfect, and there's no one in this world that is perfect. The preacher standing before you is not perfect. I have fallen short. I'm sinful. And yet, in our sin, Christ demonstrated a love for us and that he died for us in our sin. And so as you bow there, your heads there where you are, and you begin to pray and ask God and talk to him about your relationship with him, acknowledge, do you have a relationship with him? Do you know him? And if you don't, there's no magic prayer. There's no special spiritual equation, no steps of works you must do. It is simply by faith, believing that Christ died on the cross for your sin, was buried, and rose again. And that by placing your faith and trust in Christ and in Christ alone, seeking forgiveness, he will forgive you, grant you eternal life as you surrender to him, not making him Lord, but acknowledging that he is Lord already. If you're here today as heads bowed and nobody's looking around and you've made a decision to trust Christ, then maybe you, when we're all done here today, you would seek out maybe the person that invited you or brought you. Maybe you've been coming to our church for a while. Maybe you'd come talk to me or one of our leaders and you would just share so that we might rejoice with you that you came to Christ. Again, it's a simple prayer of faith. Whatever that is between you and the Lord, you would pray that prayer, asking him to be your Lord and Savior. For those of us that are saved today, believers that are in Christ, know we're saved, maybe we would remind ourselves today that we don't have to endlessly pursue these things of the world, get caught up in pursuing the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, but that we would realize that in Christ we have all that we need. We're satisfied already, and all the blessings of this life, that's just bonus. That's just extra blessings that God chooses to give to us, and we're thankful for it. Whatever the Lord is doing in that, as you're thinking through all of that, would you just respond to him favorably? Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your love and grace. We pray that if there's anyone here that has still not trusted Christ, I pray that you'd work in their hearts and minds that they would come to know you, that they would receive the gift of salvation. It is not by works that we are saved, but by faith and faith alone in Christ. Thank you for all that you're doing and continue to do. Bless now the remainder of this time. Bless this food that we're going to receive in just a little bit to our bodies. Bless the conversations, the fellowship, the time of fun. And Lord, again, just keep everyone safe and just help us have a great afternoon celebrating you, celebrating the body of Christ. And thank you for this church. Thank you for a place that we can gather. Again, Lord, not a perfect church, but a church that seeks after the perfect Savior. We love you, Lord. We're so thankful for all that you continue to do. Bless now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.